Huberto moving in, waiting. Huberto to the backhand. Hoobie doobie doo. We are tied at two. What a goal. Loose puck at center. Barkov looking to get a step on Mete. Barkov to the net. Barkov between the legs. Unbelievable. Did you just do that, Alexander Barkov? The Panthers are back on top.
Hello and welcome back to the Florida Hockey Podcast. Justin Bedford alongside Jacob Barker this week. No Noah once again. What's going on with that guy? Who knows? But, you know, it's all good because I think we got an even better co-host this episode. Jacob, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Justin. How are you doing?
Doing all right. You know, life's busy. Our Panthers, lots to talk about there. Barkov back from injury. Forsling back from injury. Tough game yesterday against St. Louis, which we'll get into. But I think we should start off. We just talk about some of the coaching changes around the league. We got Philadelphia and Vancouver making some changes behind the bench. I would argue that these changes were probably long overdue.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of coaches do overstay their welcome
in the NHL.
Yeah, it does happen. I feel like with the Canucks case, you know, it's kind of clean in house.
They really went for it.
Yeah, I do like what they did. That was something that's been a long time coming. The coach changes, that's a good move. I love Bruce.
Yeah.
You gotta love him.
I know people always get and I'm kind of that way too. People get mad that the NHL, they just kind of recycle the same coaches over and over, which is very true for the most part. Usually when a guy gets fired, especially if there's no if they're a good coach that has had success in the league, they'll find their way back in eventually. And that's kind of the way it goes. And so usually I don't love that, but when it comes to Bruce Boudreau, you gotta love it.
Oh yeah, there's certain guys that you look and you're that's technically a recycle, but this is an NHL caliber coach.
He's had a lot of success in the league, the NHL I think is a better place when Bruce Boudreau's coaching in it, because he's just a lot of fun as a coach, very entertaining personality.
Well, he dropped his first F bomb, and that was always nice to see.
Took him 20 minutes to drop an F bomb in an interview. My all time favorite Bruce Boudreau moment was I think when he was coaching the Wild. And they're staying in their hotel and the fire alarm went off at 3 in the morning. And he said, I heard the alarm. I woke up. I didn't smell smoke. It was 15 flights of stairs. And I thought, I'm chancing it. And he stayed in bed. And I was regardless, here's the thing. Because the Canucks, we mentioned it on a couple episodes of the podcast, right? And we mentioned the possibility of maybe Roberto Luongo being the GM to take over, which I think would be sick. If, you know, Bobby Lou's going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd want it to be there just for the,
it'd be unreal. Yeah,
for the symmetry. But we talked about Vancouver as just an absolute mess, all around on the ice. So much, tension between different parts of their organization. If nothing else, I think Bruce Boudreau fixes the vibes of the team.
Yeah, and you kind of see it. Obviously, Twitter doesn't say everything, but the vibe of Canucks Twitter has 180'd.
The fan base
is completely 180'd since
Bruce Boudreau. In 48 hours, they went from fire Benning chants and throwing jerseys onto the ice to sing Bruce, there it is, after a shutout win.
And it speaks for itself, right? The vibes are so big when it comes to a franchise that when the fan base is upset, it does trickle through. Obviously players say that they don't pay attention to it. They kind of try to block it out. But the reality is a lot, especially in this younger generation, a lot of them have social media and are active and they see kind of negative fan base. It can trickle into the team, right?
It can get very negative.
Yeah. So even just the fan base as well, but also the players. Bruce is awesome. He is known as a player, a player's coach.
Oh, everything about him. If I was a player, that's the type of coach I think I'd want to play for.
Uh-huh.
Right? I was kind of hoping he would be one of the names that would come up when the Panthers were looking for a new coach, just because I think he'd be a great fit for this team. But regardless, I think it's a great hire for Vancouver. I don't know if you saw the video of him, the first practice he was there, and he hadn't sharpened his skates, and it looked like he couldn't skate at all when he got on the ice.
Oh, yeah, I checked out.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. I was like, that's so on brand for Bruce Boudreau. So, yeah, I love that one for the Canucks. Philadelphia also making some coaching changes, letting go of Vigneault and Therrien, and bringing in Mike Yeo. Thoughts?
Mike Yeo. I'll be honest, like, Yeo, my only memories of him was about the Wild.
Well, that's I think that's really fun because, like, Minnesota Wild, like, 6 years ago, their GM was Chuck Fletcher, their coach was Mike Yeo, and on defense they had Nick Seeler. In Philadelphia, they now have Nick Seeler. Mike Yeo is their coach. Chuck Fletcher is the GM. So they've really just ripped off the Minnesota Wild. And I don't know if you remember those Minnesota Wild teams, but they were downright average.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they're just replicating such a mediocre franchise in the day.
But I get it. It's a copycat league. Like, you want to, you know, copy what other teams are doing well. But, like, the Minnesota Wild were very much just, like, middle of the pack.
Yeah, like, the Wild have always been that team. Like, I consistently say it. They're a team that have always just been, like, good. Like, they'd have surprisingly good seasons. They'd have surprisingly not so good seasons. They're never, like, a threat to go deep, though. Yeah. They've never been a threat to go deep. And like,
yeah, I think they are now.
Yeah. They're getting there. They're getting close.
They got a while. I like a lot of the pieces they have right now. But Mike Yeo, I think the last time Mike Yeo was an NHL head coach, he got fired when that team was in last place. They hired Craig Berube. And it was the St. Louis Blues who went on to win the Stanley Cup that year. I believe that was Mike Yeo who was the coach.
Let me confirm via his Wikipedia real quick.
Always trusted source, Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think you're right with that. Let me see. Yeah. He's from North Bay. Oh, I remember that. Our friend of the show, Jared Shea.
Jared Shea.
He's very familiar with Mike Yeo.
Does he like Mike Yeo?
Yes, he said he's a cool dude.
I mean, lots of cool dudes that, like, wouldn't be great at coaching hockey.
When did the Blues win the Cup? Is 2018-19?
Yeah.
Yes, that would be the year that he got fired.
Cool. So, yeah, so we're correct on that. Mike Yeo, yeah. So, I like the Bruce Boudreau one in Vancouver. I'm not sold on Mike Yeo in Philadelphia. And I think there's probably more work to be done in Philly than Vancouver.
Yeah, like, Vancouver's always, like, they've got a decent team. They've got a good bit of core there, like, obviously Pettersson, Hughes, Horvat, Besser, like, they've got good pieces there to work with. Thatcher Demko and net. I love kind of the narrative. I love Thatcher Demko and I think he's a very good goalie, but I do love the narrative where it's like his run in the bubble
I brought that up, yeah,
gave like the Canucks management like a false sense of like how good their team is.
On the solo episode I did where I was talking about the Canucks, I solely blamed the Canucks' misfortunes on Thatcher Demko. And he's like elite 3 weeks that he had.
Because he was unbelievable entire week. And it made them think that they were like actually a good team when like the reality was like they were not. Like, or they were not at that level. They were a game away from the Cup final, were they not?
Yeah, a game or two, I think. I
can't remember if they lost in the second or the third round. This is bad bad memory for us right now.
Yeah, really bad. Like, this is not that long ago. But I think they won like two rounds.
They won two for sure. Did they win two?
Oh, the play-in, maybe.
That's the play-in is what messes with you in those seasons.
Yeah, because that's technically not the playoffs.
Yeah, 19-20, lost in second round of the Golden Knights in Game 7, but they won the play-in and they won the
Colorado,
first round.
Right?
Yeah, because they got the upset win against the Avalanche, and then they went in. And, like, that was a good team, though. Like, they were above 500 in their games. Like, they were going to make the playoffs.
No, like, they've always been, like, they're fine, right? Yeah. But the reality is, like, Vancouver, they have the pieces there. Like, realistically, like, when you're talking about, you know, a contending team, like, what do you need? You need a good goalie. You need a number one center. You need a really good top pairing defenseman. They have those pieces, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the very least. And it's tricky to build around them because of their cap situation. But in Philadelphia, like, I really don't know. I never know what to think of the Philadelphia Flyers, to be honest. Like, every other year, it's been the goaltending that does them in. This year, they're getting goaltending, and guys just refuse to put the puck in the net.
Yeah, like, it's honestly weird. Like, I remember everyone rose to the duo with
Marty Jones.
Yeah, Marty Jones, Carter Hart, you know, it always gets flamed, but they've actually been pretty solid for the most part. Not unbelievable, but pretty solid.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, I don't see too much with this team. Like, they're just
getting, fine. They're fine.
They're okay. Yeah, like, they'll do a little bit. They're an old, like, obviously, I love Claude Giroux. Like, love my boy there.
For sure.
Yeah. There's some promise, like, some younger, like, Joel Farabee's been great in his role. I like Konechny. Like, I like some of their pieces that they have, obviously Rasmus Ristolainen is really big, and that's cool.
A lot of people are pointing out that Rasmus Ristolainen has been a lot better on Philadelphia, and that is absolutely true. I 100% agree. Rasmus Ristolainen has looked much better in Philadelphia. He still doesn't look good.
Yeah, no, like...
That's the reality.
Yeah, he's still not quite good.
The bar was low.
The bar was on the floor.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of Flyers fans, because I have a few friends that are Flyers fans, so I see them on Twitter. A lot of them were very excited about the addition of Keith Yandle in the summer, because, his personality, which is fair, he's a great person, right? Brings a lot of energy to a room, right? So they're really excited about bringing Keith Yandle in, maybe help out on the power play, right? Those same people are flaming him right now. And it's like, I hate to say I told you so, but we've been watching Keith Yandle in his decline for quite a while now with our Panthers. I don't know what you expected.
Yeah, I don't really know what the thought was. Like, whatever, bring in a defenseman. Like, everything you said is true in terms of, like, the leadership. Don't expect him to, like, carry a power play. Don't expect him to, like, a minus 15 on the season. Like, he's not...
Oh, this is a great start.
Yeah, it's a tough start for him. Yeah. But,
Although, I think, realistically, I think the most disappointing player for me on the Flyers right now has been Provorov on defense.
Yeah, I had a big... Like, I had big expectations for Provorov as a player in general, like, going forward when he first came into the league.
Well, there's a couple of years there where he was looking like he was trending really well into that, like, can he become a Norris-caliber defenseman, right?
Yeah.
And I'd seen a lot of people that were saying, he should have been, in that conversation for the Norris top 10 defenseman in the league. He's looked downright awful this year.
No, he's done nothing this year. And I feel bad because it's a guy that, like, again, coming into the league, all the expectations, but this guy can be a number one defenseman. He can go.
Yeah, and he showed flashes of it. Like,
yeah, and then he's just gotten worse under it. And, like, can Mike Yeo bring the best out of him? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean...
Anything's possible, right? Like, you never know.
Yeah, there's possible and there's probable, and I think it's possible, but is it probable? we'll see. I mean, again, I'm not a big, Mike Yeo guy.
I would like to point out that I traded Ivan Provorov 3 years ago in fantasy and got flamed for it. And all I'm going to say is I think it's looking okay now.
Who'd you get back in the trade?
I actually don't remember. It wasn't... How can you... I should look, but I remember getting flamed, and they're like, oh, this guy's going to be a number one defenseman. And you just traded him away. And
I also want to point out, though, while we're talking fantasy hockey here real quick before we move on to some Panther stuff, we once made a trade in fantasy hockey where you traded me Connor McDavid.
No, let me... Before you explain this, I'm defending myself. You told me that, first of all, there was no money in at this time, and you told me that this, like, everyone in this league was under the impression not a keeper league. So I was dead last. I had not looked at my roster once, and I was like, screw it. I'm just going to trade away players because it's the end of the
year. So, like, this is going back a few years, but it was... So I had my dynamic duo up front, which I didn't really have. I went heavy on defensemen that year. Like, I had Roman Josi, right? Very good defenseman. And my two kind of marquee forwards up front were Sagan and Ben, who were doing fuck all season, right? So much so that I think their president came out and said, these guys are shit, right? And everyone made a big deal about that. So then, like, 2 days later, I was like, well, if they're shit, then I got to get rid of them. So I knocked on your door, I believe, because we're living in residence. And I said, Jacob, let's make a trade. And the trade ended up being Sagan, Ben, and Josi for McDavid, Panarin, and Ryan Ellis.
I stand by the fact that I won the defensive side of that trade. I got the better defenseman.
Congratulations.
That's what matters at that point. No, I just remembered, it's not... it wasn't... I didn't lose him in... The it doesn't have him down there. I thought I lost him in
your fantasy. Expansion. Just for our listeners, like, his fantasy league is insane.
Yeah, it's incredibly detailed.
It's the most detailed fantasy league I think I've ever seen. Actually, Felix has got a pretty detailed one too.
This is it's a dynasty league. So if anyone's interested in tracking it, I think we're talking to TSN right now about getting the broadcasting rights, because I think it would be absolutely sick. If you documented it, we have everything.
I'm sure TSN's getting right on that.
Oh, yeah. We got expansion drafts, the NHL draft. We've got trade deadline, everything. It's absolutely insane. There's always at least, like, three or four blockbusters that go down every single trade deadline. Alex Ovechkin's been traded, like, 5 times in the last 4 years.
Oh, as he should.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah. That guy just refuses to decline.
It's insane, right? Like, he...
He's on pace for, like, the best season of his career.
At some point, like...
And guy's, like, 36.
Yeah. Like, everyone's... I do, like, kind of get it's, like... Has, like... Everyone's, like, oh, like, he missed this time. Like, because we didn't have the lock... Like, the two lockouts.
Yeah.
The COVID stuff. Like, he missed a lot of time. That being said, like, could that have low-key, like, extended his career, too? Because he didn't play that many games. Like, he hasn't played as many games as he would. Maybe. I think he's just, like, an absolute warrior, too. Like, I think he's just a Russian tank.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, you see the hit he threw the other day, too? Like, he's still throwing the body around. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No, he hasn't gotten any worse. Provorov was moved in exchange for... who was it? Provorov for... Where was it? Oh, I know what happened. We are expanded. We were in an expansion draft. And... he got scammed, or he got, like, I had to let him go, right? I had to, So, it was a choice. It was between Provorov, it was Provorov or Seth Jones to keep. And I kept Seth Jones at the time. Everyone flamed me. To be fair, neither of us looked that good. But then I traded Seth Jones, so it was okay. But.
Yeah, always making moves. Yeah. I mean, that's just
Seth
the way
Jones got traded.
Yeah. Actually, I think there's a fantasy podcast on the network now. Like, one specifically dedicated to this.
I should be
so on it. if you like fantasy hockey, check out that podcast. I have no idea what it's called or who's running it. Oh, yeah. But like many of the shows on the network, probably not this one. It's pretty good, probably.
Yeah. Seth Jones then got traded for Jake Sanderson, Philip Roberg, and a 2023 first round pick.
So that's a win.
So that's a huge
win. That's a huge win.
Yeah.
For you there. But we'll get into some Panthers stuff here, and talk about the game last night, the back-to-back against St. Louis. But first, a quick ad read from our good friends over at DraftKings. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If DraftKings Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action, and everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings daily fantasy sports contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's get into it. Florida Panthers. First of all, like, back-to-back against St. Louis, right? First one, obviously, still some injuries, right? Second one, Barkov back, Forsling back. Always nice. Always good to have those guys back in.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can see the impact he has, not just on, like, the actual scoreline, but also the team, too. Like, I remember watching the first intermission, talking to Carter Verhaeghe, and just, like, he was talking about just how big of a difference it is to have Barkov back, just playing back around the team and also, like, able to contribute. He got on the score sheet pretty much right away.
Yeah. Right? And then he needed to get, tweak something later in the game, which not related to the knee injury, which I guess is good. I guess it's good because it's not a setback, right? Because the knee injury looked bad, so a setback there. But it seems like more just kind of a tweak and something to pay attention to. So that's not great. Especially for, your best player. But I will say, like, they the team did well in his absence, right? Like, it would have been easy to, like, they're missing a lot of guys. Like, it's not just him. It's him, it's Duclair, it's Forsling, right? Mm-hmm. It's Marchment. It's a lot of key guys. And I'm throwing Mason Marchment in there and calling him a key guy.
Oh, clearly, yeah.
But it'd be easy for a team to kind of to fold. Like, if they went 500 with those guys out, I think you could understand it, right?
Yeah, like the bar, obviously this is a good hockey team, so I always expect them to do pretty well. But at the same time, like, if they lose a couple of those games, they're a little bit more understanding. Like, you see if there's a quality drop, but, like, there really wasn't a drop at all. There was no drop off. Like, it was the same team.
I think there's maybe a couple games they could have played better, which you expect, and that's just, you know, any good team will have games like that. But you're definitely going to miss, you know, a guy like Barkov.
Oh, yeah. No, I think his impact has felt like I said.
Yeah.
Just like,
well, it's so much bigger. It's not just on the ice. It's in the room. It's everywhere. So to have him back is huge. And then I think the biggest thing, too, while he was out, and it's been not just since he was out, but all season long, is the play of Aaron Ekblad. Who?
He's so good.
I think at the start of the season, I think there were still some fans who probably don't watch the Panthers a ton, who didn't have Aaron Ekblad on their Team Canada, or he was a fringe candidate to make Team Canada. I think he's firmly on that team right now.
I remember us talking in the preseason about this exact thing, where we were talking about a breakout player for the Panthers. And I remember saying in that sun, I'm like, it's not really like a breakout if you've already been this good, but to put the NHL back on watch will be Aaron Ekblad this year. And he has done exactly that. He is still an elite defenseman in this league. Yeah. And for some reason, just gets disrespected. It's mostly injuries, but...
Well, it's injuries, and then it's the Florida disrespect. It's probably what it is.
Florida gets an insane... I feel like we also have the Canadian perspective of this. Like, for all of our viewers in Florida, you may or may not, like, see what we see. But, like, in Canada, no one ever talks about Florida. Like, no. The Panthers are... Like, for a lot of fans, a lot of our least friends,
and
they don't think anything of the Panthers.
No, they were saying last year that they wanted the Panthers in the playoffs. They wanted to see them in the playoffs because they were like, that's the best team we can beat.
And but I was then
like,
they couldn't even beat the Montreal.
Yeah, players. I was like, sick team.
Yeah,
like, sick
team. I don't know if you can talk too much, but yeah.
Oh, you think Mitch Marner's better than Jonathan Huberto? Like, it's just blatantly false.
No, it's incorrect.
Yeah.
We already talked about the Editor and Leaf article a few, like, probably.
Yeah, I tweeted about a bunch too. Yeah,
yeah, it's great, but yeah, no, I think. Yeah, them calling Mason Marchment the worst player in the league is like, I mean, you know, maybe not the best.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
It's a bit laughable from a team that employs Nick Ritchie, but...
I mean, he scored his first goal last night.
Congratulations, he's on pace for four.
That's incredible.
My goodness. That's Radko Gudas numbers there.
Speaking of Radko Gudas, how unreal has he been?
Oh, so good. I love him.
So good last night.
There was one play last night, because I was just watching it work, right? And he was like, went end-to-end and then like went around the net, and I was like... Bobby Orr?
He's so good.
His pass on that Huberto goal was phenomenal, too, to see him back door.
Like, as much as he's kind of a meme, he's also, like, one of the best memes. For, like in terms of, like, actually, like, how do I say
it? Yeah, he's not, like, unbelievably
competent.
Bad.
Yeah,
he's like,
still,
fine.
He's still, like, very much
and
good.
And he plays hits, right?
Yeah, he's very much
good energy player.
Good third line.
Yeah,
it's
the same thing with, like, Ryan Lomberg. Like, you know.
Yeah,
for your depth guys, like he's a good hockey player.
Yeah,
right. But you just gotta love the way he plays the game, right?
Yeah. You bring the vibes of the Lamborghini.
Oh my goodness, unreal! You gotta love it.
Yeah, those are the guys you root for in the spot. Like,
but no, but I was thinking about the Aaron Ekblad stuff, and I'm hearing a lot of people talking about Aaron Ekblad in that Norris conversation, right? Like, he's probably in the mix, right? With Cale Makar, Adam Fox, and probably Roman Josi. Like, that's probably your Norris, kind of mix of guys that you're looking at. But I don't even want to talk about that. I want to talk Aaron Ekblad for the Hart Trophy.
Oh, that's a choice. That would be an option.
It's a tough thing. I realize it's a tough sell, and it won't happen. But who in the NHL has been more valuable to their team?
McDavid and Draisaitl are single-handedly carrying the Oilers.
Yeah, but there's two of them. You can't split the Oilers. Most valuable, not most valuable, two players. So if they're both unbelievably valuable, it kind of takes away from the individual value.
All right, so like...
So they don't count.
So let's throw in the Carter Hart, Martin Jones duo into the Hart Trophy conversation then, if it's most valuable.
Oh, I mean, if Philly squeaks in, you gotta think they get a look, right?
That's gotta be.
Yeah, you gotta think they're getting votes. If Marty Jones got a Hart Trophy vote, like,
that'd be unbelievable.
But like, he's that valuable to this team.
He's incredibly valuable,
right? And he should be in that mix for the Norris, rightfully so.
For the Norris, for sure. I like that play.
Yeah, and for the Hart, probably.
Probably.
If Aaron Ekblad doesn't finish top 10 in Hart Trophy votes, I would say that's an egregious miscalculation.
Egregious mix. Yes. Egregious miss.
I will, yeah. I won't tolerate that Aaron Ekblad slander. But one thing I do want to talk about is a guy who's struggling on the team right now. A guy who, you know, he started the season pretty well, but he's kind of tailed off as of late. Hasn't had that many good games lately, and it's Spencer Knight.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I mean, it's... I'll be honest with you. I thought it was kind of, like, bound to happen eventually. Like, he's going to... He's still a very, very good goalie. He just is going to go through a bit of a rough patch eventually. Like, it was almost too good to be true when he was winning every single game he played.
Yeah, certainly. Like, you will not win every game in your career. That is the reality. No like, goalie.
Expectations need to be tempered a little bit with that. He hasn't been fantastic in those last few appearances. I mean, Bob has been unreal, so, like...
Yeah, I mean, he had the one game where Spencer Knight had to come in.
Yeah, yeah, but we still
you know,
won
during
it,
the, so you know, the whole comeback Cats thing, which they've been crushing lately.
Yeah, but yeah, like I think it's just a natural rough patch. I'm not really concerned about him. I think he'll bounce.
One, I think it gets magnified too because I know a lot of people are talking about it after a game like the last one against St. Louis, and I think it just gets magnified by the fact that like Ville Husso played unbelievable.
Yeah,
he was unbelievable in both games.
Yeah, like I don't really. Right. Yeah.
When you have games that finish close and one guy played out of his mind and one guy was like downright average or maybe a bit below average, then you can kind of see how that like it makes him look worse.
Yeah, like I don't really like blame him for like it was a tough performance for him, but yeah, like Ville Husso was unbelievable. So like,
it looks worse in a, a one goal game.
Yeah.
And I think too, and it depends too on how you like view Spencer Knight. Like the reality is he's a very young goalie, and if you view him as a backup goalie, which at this point he is, right, he has been the backup to Bob this season, right, like what do you want from your backup goalie? Like there's a reason they're backup goalies, right?
Yeah,
like if you want Spencer Knight to come in and throw up a 940, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, see, like like if you view him with that standpoint, then it's a little bit more.
Yeah, like if you view him on the same kind of scale as the other backup goalies in the league, he's probably on par.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bob's done enough to solidify himself as like a starter. I mean, he's gonna win the Vezina this year, so like.
Well, exactly.
As I said, if he wins it, I'm going and finding that.
I have the clip for it. I clipped it for you. Don't worry.
We're
already set for it.
I'm posting that everywhere.
Yeah,
that's going. I called it from day one. He'll be the only three-time Vezina winner in history.
I mean,
easy.
Not history.
History.
Not history.
In history.
In the league, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. He's the.
He'll. He's. He'll go. He'll go and probably win like a couple more, right?
Yeah. You have to think. Behind this defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. After
he'll get up to 6 or 7. And who has the record in like the actual, like the overall record?
It's got to be Hasek, right?
How many did he win?
All of them. Like it's got to be something ridiculous. Like he was like quite good at goaltending.
Most Vezina trophies. There we are. Hasek and Bill Dernan won it 6 times each.
Yeah, but different eras.
Oh, yeah, Paul will be there. No, but...
I mean, yeah, Hasek was unbelievable.
At what point do we solidify him as the greatest goalie of all time? It's a big thing.
Good news, though, for, like, Panthers, just looking at the upcoming schedule here, and some of the things with injuries and, a couple guys struggling. And should be said, too, Anton Lundell's been fantastic lately, too. When we're talking about young guys.
Wish I was surprised.
I know. I mean...
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we remember back in the day, in his draft year, and we... had him significantly higher in our draft rankings than a lot of people and got absolutely torched.
I remember getting like overtly flamed for having him above Cole Perfetti.
Above who?
Cole Perfetti.
Who?
Exactly. I remember tons of people just flaming. They're like, oh my gosh, this guy from the OHL, where we definitely don't have extreme bias towards, is better than this kid from Finland.
That's a surprising take from you, too, because you have been on the record going against Scandinavian players in the past.
I've also been on the record well against Cole Perfetti, so it's a battle of both.
It's true. But, I remember John, who was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, and I remember that draft year, and he was like, he's a Ducks fan, he really wanted the Ducks to draft Cole Perfetti.
Perfect.
And I had to like sit him down and say, like, listen, John, the guy you like isn't good.
Cole Perfetti has one golden opportunity to redeem himself forever in my books, and it is at the upcoming World Juniors when he is going to have to produce a significant amount of offense for this team. And
Yeah, my bold, my actually bold prediction, he doesn't.
And if he doesn't, I'm done with Cole Perfetti. I've given him a lot of chances to be good. I watched him religiously in his draft year.
As
an OHL scout, it was my job.
I watched him religiously.
I'm like, you are flashy, but you are not, like you can't.
I think if you're a Panthers fan, I think you're pretty happy that Lindell was there on the board for you.
I was thrilled.
I mean, and the slander against Lindell just never made any sense either. Like, it was a lot of people, you know, saying, like, he doesn't produce offense, right? He's not an offensive guy, despite always producing offense.
Yeah, at no point did he not.
Like, yeah, like, I don't know where that thought comes from. Just because he's not flashy, right? Like, he's not Trevor Zegras.
He still put up incredible point totals in the highest level of men's hockey in Finland.
Yeah, but Cole Perfetti's Canadian, so.
Yeah, Cole Perfetti threw up played over a point per game in the OHL.
Yeah, very impressive.
Like every D+2 does.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Cole Perfetti played down the road from the Detroit Red Wings, like, all season in Flint, and they were like, nah, pass.
He played in Saginaw.
Is that close? It's gotta be close.
It's like, close-ish, yeah.
Yeah, I'd call it down the road.
Yeah, it's roughly down
the road. Closer than Finland.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hard passed on him, too. But anyways, yeah, fun schedule coming up. They got the tough game against Colorado, but before that, Arizona. So could be a trap game, but also could be, you know, points night.
Yeah, the key is you don't want to look too far ahead, right? Like, you take every game in stride. Like, you don't.
No, we got to look super far ahead. January 11th, Vancouver. What do you think?
The Canucks
under Brucey Boudreau.
I think almost. I don't think much of the. I don't think too much of that game, to be honest. I think it will be fun.
No, it will be fun. Lots of good players. But yeah, as far down the road, we'll. But yeah, couple fun games coming up this week before our next episode. So, hoping that, you know, next week we're talking about some Panthers wins. Maybe Noah shows up for an episode.
That'd be great if he did for once.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I know, just busy, you know, living the dream in
Victoria.
Yeah, living in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, I guess that does it for this one. Thanks for everyone tuning and listening. And we'll be back next week with Noah. Or maybe not. We'll see. Take her easy and we'll see you then. Center, Barkov looking to get a step on Metz.